Stop one. Hello, and welcome to Placerita Canyon State Park and Natural Area, a facility of LA County Parks and Recreation, and home to native California wildlife, plant life, and history. The Canyon Trail is a 2-mile hike to Walker Ranch that will take you along the park's shady canyon and upstream the seasonal Placerita Creek. The trail can be a bit rugged in places, and you may have to cross the stream at some points. Poison oak is also common on the trail, and will be described later in the hike, and if you ever hear this, be sure to stop and look, because you may have just crossed paths with a Southern Pacific rattlesnake. If you do see a rattler, wait for the snake to pass before proceeding, or move around the snake by giving it a good distance. No need to worry though, just make sure to stay on the trail and always be watchful. During your hike, you will see wooden posts along the trail with a number. The numbers on the posts correspond to the tracks on your MP3 player. So if you are standing in front of a post that has the number 2, you should be listening to track 2 of the hike. When you hear this noise, the track is over. Let's start the hike, shall we?
Stop 2. Our first stop is in front of a few trees with obvious fire damage. Along the trail, you'll see many examples of dead, blackened trees that were scorched during the Foothill Fire that started on July 17, 2004. This fire burned 6,003 acres of land, and it all started when a red-tailed hawk landed on a telephone wire. The hawk was electrocuted and fell to the ground on fire, sparking the blaze. The fire was eventually extinguished after 4 days of burning. However, chaparral and oak woodland habitats are adapted to fire, and many of the plants are resistant to massive fire damage. Natural fires not caused by humans are actually healthy for the environment, because the fire burns old, dying plants and turns them into ash, which then serves as fertilizer, enriching the soil with nutrients for new seedlings to grow.
Stop 3. This is a sycamore tree. These trees require lots of water to thrive, and you'll notice that most sycamores grow close to the creek. The trees are also able to receive water, and in return, the roots of the trees provide stable stream banks. At the beginning of spring, the leaves will be a light green, and in the summer, the leaves will darken in color. They drop in the fall, and the tree is bare during the winter. If there are leaves here for you today, feel free to touch them. The leaves, that normally grow between 4 and 9 inches long and are the largest in North America, are very soft and fuzzy. This is actually an adaptation to reduce water loss, as the soft white hairs reflect sunlight. The Tatavium Indians, who lived in Placerita Canyon, actually used these soft leaves to line baby diapers. Today, as well as back then, it can be used as an alternative toilet paper, in case you forget to bring along some TP on that backpacking trip. The trees can live to be over 400 years old, and they have been dated back to have lived over 100 million years ago.
Stop 4.
From here, you'll begin to notice the different kinds of rock that make up the canyon walls. Placerita Canyon is located in the western portion of the San Gabriel Mountains, and two large faults, the Placerita and San Gabriel faults, run through the east end of the park. These rocks are a mix of granite, gneiss, schist, marble, and quartzite, which most likely came together under the force of the large faults. Many of these magnificent rocks have been carved by water and wind to form what we see today, while others formed millions of years ago. About 300 million years ago, this valley was actually part of the Pacific Ocean. Most of the canyon is made up of metamorphic rocks, which are formed by extreme temperature or pressure. But there are also igneous rocks, formed by magma underground, and sedimentary rocks, formed by sediments from the sea. The creek is made up of alluvium, which is gravel, sand, and other rocks deposited by running water. The canyon itself has gone through millions of years of hard-hitting water, wind, and fire to appear how it does today.
Stop 5.
Feel free to have a seat on the bench and have a look around for a minute. You'll be able to get another good look at the canyon walls, and above you is a coast live oak. These trees have cup-shaped leaves to help retain water from evaporation as less sun directly hits the leaves, and they can live through some of the most extreme droughts and fires. These amazing trees can live to be over 300 years old and grow to be extremely large in size, ranging from 30 to 80 feet high. But it's very difficult for a coast live oak to survive past being a seedling, as it competes with other oak seedlings for sunlight and also risks being eaten by animals. Coast live oaks are known to provide shade, shelter, nest sites, and of course, oxygen. The trees also provide a food source with acorns that ripen in autumn and drop in the winter and spring. Many animals eat acorns, such as black bear, deer, many species of birds, rodents, squirrels, and humans as well. The Tatavium Indians would eat acorns as an important staple in their diet. Coast live roots also help control erosion and stabilize the soil and slopes, which then provides rich and organic litter for other plants to grow, and also creates habitats for animals to live.
Stop 6. This bench had to be uncovered on the trail. In January of 2005, Placerita Canyon received over 70 inches of rain. One storm continued for almost 4 days. During that time, the park was overflowing with water and turned many of the park's trails into rivers, and landslides then occurred. The hillside behind the bench most likely gave way to the excess water, and debris plummeted to the ground, covering the bench. Looking around the bench, it is very noticeable how much debris collected at the floor, and the ground level has now risen since before the heavy rain. Up ahead, you'll notice in many places how flowing water has carved gullies in the hillside and then connected to the creek. The heavy water washed away dirt from the cliffs, exposing rock, and was even strong enough to carry rocks in the flow. Just another example of how powerful water can be. Stop 7. Here we have the dreaded poison oak. The plant even has its own saying that warns you of its danger. Leaves of 3, leave it be. Most people know not to touch this plant, unless you want to develop an itchy rash and possibly blisters. Poison oak contains an oil that you might not be able to see, but it's produced on the plant year-round. Even if there are no leaves present, the stick-like stems of the plant are still coated with the toxic oil. You'd also want to think twice before burning poison oak, because that would just cause the oil to become a gas, and it's not a wise choice to breathe that in. Not all people are allergic to poison oak, but for most of us, every part of the plant, stems, leaves, the seasonal berries, and all, are toxic. If you come in contact with the plant, be sure to get to water ASAP and wash the affected area with soap and water. There are also topical treatments that work well for the itching, and the rash that will most likely develop can stick around from anywhere from weeks to months, depending on the person. Make sure to keep an eye out for more up on the trail. Stop 8.
Behind you, you'll be able to get a good look at Placerita Creek, if it is flowing today, of course. The creek is supported by a basin in the San Gabriel Mountains and flows into the Santa Clara River, eventually leading to the Pacific Ocean. The creek has an amazing effect on the canyon's wildlife and plants. It supplies fresh water, is a breeding ground for amphibians and insects, and has even shaped the canyon itself.
Stop 9.
Behind you, you will notice an oak tree whose roots are clearly visible. This is an example of how high the creek had risen during the flooding in 2005, and how hardy oak tree roots really are. Despite the fact that much of the soil has been washed away, the remaining roots in this hillside amazingly remain strong enough to support the tree.
Stop 10.
Here we see a branch from a tree that has met its demise, most likely from a mix of fire damage and heavy winds. The tree was charred in the 2004 fire and simply became weak, and when the winds kicked up, the tree fell and was eventually moved off of the trail. But this is part of nature. When trees fall, they take part in making a whole new ecosystem. This branch will eventually decompose and become fertilizer for other plants. Other parts of the tree can be used by animals for shelter, or the breeding ground for fungi or mosses, which can be food for animals as well. Of course, it will be years before this branch is completely decomposed and gone, but it will have paved the way for future plants and animals alike.
Stop 11.
Here we can look at our riparian ecosystem. In Placerita Canyon, we have a mix of chaparral habitat, or dense areas of scrub brush, a very common sight in Southern California, oak woodlands, meaning areas of dense oak forest with some smaller understory plants, and riparian, where essentially creek and land meet. In riparian habitats, which make up much of Placerita Canyon, you will find water-loving plants with deep tap roots for sucking up water, so that even when the creek itself is dry, the plants are still able to find groundwater below the surface. Riparian plants, such as our friend the sycamore, mulefat, and cottonwoods, all play a crucial role in soil stabilization and water quality improvement along the creek bank. Many of these plants are also able to survive mass floodings as well as fires. Riparian habitats are a prime area for wildlife sightings, especially in Placerita Canyon, as this creek is the main source of water for many species that live in the park.
Stop 12.
From here, depending on the time of year, usually spring and the beginning of summer are the best for this stop, you'll be able to notice that one side of the mountain is covered in more greener plant life than the other. The north-facing slope is an example of an oak woodland community, and the south-facing slope is chaparral community. In this way, the mountains can be used like a compass. You are facing south if you see trees, dense brush, and greener plants on a hillside. You're facing north if the hillside is not as green and is mostly grass and brush. The reason for this difference in plant life is because of how the sun hits the canyon. More direct sunlight reaches the southern hills, creating a drier side, and less direct sunlight hits the northern hills, which allows more plants to grow and retain water easier.
Stop 13.
On this and many other hillsides, you may come across some of the lesser seen and probably lesser liked animals in Placerita Park. Trapdoor spiders have been spotted next to these rocks, as well as darkling beetles, better known as stink bugs. Trapdoor spiders have learned to hunt much like larger animals would, by hiding and pouncing on prey as it passes the highly camouflaged opening or door to the spider's burrow. Darkling beetles have developed the uncanny ability to stand on their heads and shoot a foul-smelling black liquid from their rear ends for defense against predators. On this rocky hillside behind you, you will also see lichen, which are a strange combination of fungus and a photosynthetic, meaning able to produce its food from the sun, algae or cyanobacteria that have formed a symbiotic relationship. The photosynthetic organism receives protection from the fungus, and the fungus receives nutrients from the organism. These lichen break down rock and help to form soil, are eaten by some animals, and serve as indicators for healthy air quality, as many lichen are sensitive to air pollutants.
Stop 14. Another bench. Just another opportunity to have a seat and enjoy the quiet for a little while. This hillside is a great place to see lots of wildlife, including western gray squirrels, California ground squirrels, birds, lizards, and even gray foxes. Although you most likely won't see a gray fox here today, you are standing on prime fox territory. Gray foxes build their den sites on hillsides near a water source, which would be the creek, and where food, such as those squirrels and birds we talked about earlier, would be plentiful. Foxes dig their dens underground, where it is cooler in the warmer months and warmer in the cooler months. You may have already spotted some fox scat, or droppings, on the trail as well, probably on something prominent like a rock or stump. That's because a fox is marking his territory. By leaving scat on a higher point, rather than at ground level, it allows the scent to travel farther, and allows other foxes to know this belongs to another fox. Gray foxes leave their mark at higher points, but other animals, such as coyotes, bears, and mountain lions, for example, use their scat for the same purpose, to indicate territory. Stop 15. Here is another example of a gully on the hillside created by flooding. You have also reached the halfway point to Walker Ranch, and have officially hiked for 1 mile. But don't stop now, there's still lots more to see. Stop 16.
From here, you'll be able to see many varieties of plant life. Some of the most common plants found around Placerita Canyon would include mule fat, toyon, holly leaf cherry, yucca, and sugar bush. Here is also a good spot to look for birds. Some of the more common birds you'll see and hear at Placerita Park are scrub jays, acorn woodpeckers, California towhees, and California quail. Other birds you might hear are Buick's wrens, black phoebes, and red-tailed hawks. Of course, there are migratory birds who fly through the park at certain times of the year, like a Bullock's oriole in the summer, or a cedar waxwing in the winter. You might also be able to spot the dark figure of a turkey vulture that are regularly seen soaring in the air overhead searching for a meal. Be sure to come back during another time of the year to see how many of the plants and bird species have changed.
Stop 17. Here is a good example of renewal in nature. You can see the blackened, skinny trees that now haunt the hillsides, but below them, you can see that nature has made a comeback. Environments have a way of healing themselves after fire, and it's obvious here that life can come from death. In a matter of a week after a fire, many shrubs will send up sprouts from rooftops. Some chaparral shrubs actually needed the fire to germinate their seeds. As far as fire's effect on native animals goes, bigger animals will return in about a year, and some smaller animals, many of whom survived the fire by hiding underground, would return about the same time. In order to live in this ever-changing environment, plants and animals alike must adapt to survive. Stop 18. Along the trail, you've probably noticed different-sized holes in the ground or near the hillsides. These holes could be the openings for homes to lizards, snakes, or even ground squirrels, depending on the size. The most commonly seen lizards in Placerita Canyon are western fence lizards, side-blotched lizards, and alligator lizards. Gopher snakes, king snakes, striped racers, and of course rattlesnakes are some of the more common snakes in the canyon. Ground squirrels also live in colonies underground and emerge through these holes. Their burrows actually benefit plants, because the tunnels they create excavate richer soil and let in water to replenish roots. And just because you see a hole doesn't mean you should go poking around in it, because you never know what could be inside. Stop 19.
That kerosene-like scent you're smelling is from a pool of bubbling white oil. This oil is completely natural, but it's very rare for oil to be rising straight from the ground. This is the New Century oil well, and it was as clear as kerosene and able to burn 100 times longer than conventional oil when the well was made in the early 1900s. Many original Newhall residents would actually fill buckets with the white oil and pour it into their Model A Fords without first having to refine it. Of course, this kind of oil would not work well with our modern-day cars, and because it is considered to be a historical artifact, the oil will never be commercially developed. You may also be wondering if having this oil seeping up in the canyon is okay to have in the park, from an environmental perspective. White oil is a perfectly natural product straight from the earth. In fact, according to a county study, the movement of the oil from the original source through the fine sands and clay of the San Gabriel Fault Zone created a natural filtration system for this clear, kerosene-like oil, and it has been trickling into Placerita Creek for over 100 years.
Stop 20.
This meadow is a good example of places where you may find mule deer. Mule deer, who regularly eat leaves of small shrubs, trees, and acorns, and whose diet actually contains very little grass, do live in the park and are active during the early morning and early evening. Some meadows were actually formed by Native Americans, who would cut down trees so that they could lure deer into the meadow and have a better chance of a successful hunt. But of course, as we like to say in the park, where there are deer, there will be mountain lions. Mountain lions, who should be more respected than feared, are found in the park, but these elusive animals are extremely rare to see. According to the California Department of Fish and Game, there have been only 16 verified mountain lion attacks on humans in California since 1890, and 6 of them were fatal. That means you're more likely to be struck by lightning or win the lottery than to fall victim to a mountain lion. If you do see a mountain lion, make yourself look as large as possible, make loud noises, and stand your ground and fight back if necessary. But these beautiful animals play a crucial role in the environment by controlling the deer population. If mule deer had no natural predators in the park, they could potentially overpopulate and drive themselves and other species to starvation by consuming too many plants.
Stop 21.
Everyone has seen large holes in the sides of trees, but do you know how they form? A very common reason these form is because a branch has fallen off, exposing the sapwood, which is the inner layer of wood. This makes it possible for fungi or bacteria to enter the tree and attack it, which then forms the cavity. Holes are also formed because of weather or other diseases. So while tree holes are really not a good thing for the tree, although they are usually able to survive, they are beneficial for some animals, like great horned owls, who roost in holes, or raccoons, who relax and build shelters in them as well. Trees can also heal themselves over time, and you may see cavities in the tree that are beginning to close as the new layer of bark forms around the cavity.
Stop 22. This old fireplace is what remains of an unfinished home built by the Walker family. Frank Walker moved to Placerita Canyon from Los Angeles in 1905. He married Hortense Rainier, who lived on a neighboring ranch, in 1908. He built their first home in this canyon about a half a mile east of here. The stone porch pillars can still be seen on the north side of Placerita Canyon Road. Frank and Hortense had 12 children, 7 boys and 5 girls. Here at Walker Ranch, they built their third home, finishing construction in the early 1930s. This house was referred to as the summer cabin, because the family would live here in the summer months when the road up the canyon was not flooded by the rain-swollen creek in the winter. In later years, this would be their full-time residence, as improvements to the road made it more passable year-round. The home was abandoned when the Walkers sold the property to the state in the 1950s, and was subsequently demolished. However, you can still visit the Walkers' second home, which was built in 1920. It has been restored and is located near the Placerita Nature Center, approximately 2 miles west of here. The stone fireplace and adjoining concrete foundation is seen here where the initial construction on what was to be the Walkers' fourth home had begun.
This fireplace is made from what Frank called fancy rock, a type of schist found in the canyon. But when his wife Hortense unexpectedly passed away in 1932, he abandoned work on the house, so now the fireplace sits here, the home unfinished in a grove of oak trees. Stop 23. You are now at Walker Ranch, which connects to the Waterfall Trail and Los Pinitos Trail. And you have officially hiked 2 miles through Placerita Canyon. Make sure to come back and visit during different times of the year, and don't forget about the other trails here at the park. We hope that by listening to this program, you've gained more knowledge of Placerita Canyon and will continue to respect this wonderful place. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you around.